You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J, TCRG.
All right, so we are here with today's guest, Casey O'Connor, a fellow TCRG. So, hi, Casey.
Hi, Courtney. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And Casey is a teacher and studio owner from Maryland, and she has had her school for 8 years. And she has been sharing a lot of her journey, right? You started as like TCRG in training, and you were sharing your journey on like the process of becoming a TC.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of transitioned into like a glimpse into what being a TC is like.
Right.
Which I love. I'm all about it. So Casey and I have gotten to know each other through Instagram and Facebook, and maybe we'll meet in person one day. But Casey's been sharing a lot of great stuff, and I thought that she would be a great guest for the show. So can you tell everybody a little bit about you and kind of how you got started dancing in the first place?
Yeah. So I started Irish dance when I was 9. I had never seen it before. I think it was like either right as or right before Riverdance was sort of making its way to our part of the world. So I had no idea what it was. My mom actually found a flyer in Walmart for Irish dance lessons. So I just kind of went the first day and loved it. And that was kind of the beginning. That was with the Roche Academy up in Buffalo, New York.
Yep.
So I danced with Roche for 4 years. And then when I was 13, both of my grandfathers had passed away like 10 days apart from each other. And our family decided that was when we needed to move back to the East Coast to be with our extended family. When I was 13, both of my grandfathers had passed away like 10 days apart from each other. And that's when our family decided it was time to move back home to the East Coast. So I kind of quit dancing for a little while for a couple of reasons. One, I was 13 and had to move and my whole world was just like upside down. And then both of my grandfathers loved my dancing so much that it just made me sad to dance.
Yep.
So I didn't want to do it anymore. And my mom, at that point I was in prelim, and my mom was like, you cannot stop dancing. So she convinced me to go to a school that was non-competitive. So I did dance with them for a year. And then by the end of the year, I just wasn't being challenged. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to go to like, you know, a competitive school now and kind of get back into it. So I started up with the Ryan Kilcoyne School, and I stayed with them up through my senior year of high school. And then I kind of stopped again for college.
Yep.
And I did dance for a semester when I studied in Ireland at the University of Galway, or NUIG. And then that was pretty much it, though. It wasn't until after college that I sort of got back into dancing.
I think that's good for people to hear, though, that, you know, just because you stop dancing for a period of time, or maybe you temporarily kind of fall out of love with dancing, like, you can always find your way back to it. Like, it's always there somewhere for you.
And I think Irish dance, it's one of those things where you can go back, especially now. Like when I was 17, I was old being 17 and dancing. Like people did not stick around like they do now with like senior ladies and even the adult champ, like the adult competitions that they have.
Yeah, that's very true.
You can definitely get back into it.
Yeah. So I know that you do a lot of work with, is it Irish Life Experience?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're headed to Ireland very soon, which is why we needed to record this. And kind of, did you get involved with that through your program at NUIG or?
So that program, it's been around for a while now. I actually learned about it from when I was in high school. There was a girl a grade above me who had gone on the trip. Back then it was the Irish Way. It's kind of changed ownership. So it's the Irish Life Experience now. So I went when I was 17, and it's a summer abroad program for high school age students, and it's 3.5 weeks long, and we stay in boarding schools and the kids take classes, and we go like everywhere you can think of that you could go in 3.5 weeks.
That's pretty cool. I really didn't know much about it until I had seen your stuff about it. And I think that's an awesome way for high schoolers to be able to go and see what it's like.
Yeah. And so now I've been going as a counselor. So this summer will be my 6th year going back as a counselor for the trip. And then as part of their curriculum, they have to learn Irish dance.
Yeah.
So I teach them like the skips and sevens and a couple Cayleys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, and that is really the Irish life experience, because all Irish kids learn to dance when they're in primary school. So
yeah, it's so funny when I start, because especially the boys, they're kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this. And then by the end, we bring in some friends that play music and they're like, let's go again. They just want to keep going and they'll just dance like all night.
That's awesome. And did your time in Galway have any impact on your, like, your dancing or your teaching philosophy or anything like that? Just curious.
Not really. I feel like my study abroad, the dancing part of my study abroad was just kind of like one part of it.
Yep.
For me, I feel like I grew in different ways, just like as a young person.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a lot of fun, and I made some connections, and some of the girls that I dance with there now have their own schools, like in Dublin.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm still connected with them, which is pretty neat.
Very cool. So then after college, you must have made the decision at some point to go for this,
And,
you know, go get your TC and everything like that. So kind of how did that thought develop?
So after college, I moved back home. I was living with my parents. I was not dancing.
Yeah.
I was working, like, just my first job out of college was at AC Moore, like a retail store.
Yep.
And I was like dating this guy that I didn't even really like. So basically, like, I had a day where I sort of looked around and I was like, okay, I'm not doing this job forever. I'm not going to be with this guy forever. Like, things need to change. I just wasn't happy.
Yeah.
So in like a matter of 3 days, I broke up with the boyfriend and quit my job. Like, just like flat out, didn't give 2 weeks notice to my job or anything. And my dad was like, you can't just quit your job. Like, you need references. And I was like, no, I was like, I just don't want to have a boss anymore. I was like, I'm going to figure it out. I was like, I'm going to start maybe, or no, what happened was I quit and then I had nothing to do. So I started these little, I was going to these Kaylee classes at this sort of hole in the wall Irish pub in downtown Baltimore. There was this old man who would teach. It was $2 for a class.
Nice.
He was like $1 for each foot. So I would go down there by myself just to get back into dancing, because I wasn't dancing or playing music. And after a few weeks of that, I decided to go back to Ryan Kilcoyne, and I sort of danced there just recreationally for a year.
Yep.
And I think Miss Christina knew before I did that I would ultimately be kind of starting my own school.
Yeah.
So after a year of being with them, I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start a little recreational class. And I started that in 2012 with 14 students. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into, like, starting that, because it's just kind of grown and grown and grown since then.
That's awesome, though. I mean, just, and I think that's good for people to hear, too, that, like, you can start your school before you've officially become a TC. Like, for some people, that's a good way to start and, like, test it out. I started just while I was waiting for my results, so, I mean, I was pretty much there, but you can do what you did and start and see what happens. And then if you kind of want to take it to the next level, then you do it.
Yeah. I think it helped me with my exam too, because of the whole teaching aspect of it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not like trying to, you're not trying to stage teaching situations. You're just living it and teaching normally.
Yeah. Cause when I first started my school, I would be so nervous like every week before class, cause I felt like I didn't really know what I was doing. And I would just get so nervous. And I can't imagine what the exam would have been like if I hadn't had the experience of teaching. Because at the exam, the teaching part was like, it was the most comfortable for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to just being in that sort of dance classroom setting.
Yeah. No, that's great. Like I said, just that's really good for other people to hear. Because I know a lot of people that listen to this are in the stage where they're trying to decide what they want to do or like what order to do things in. And I think just the more stories they can hear from different people and that it all can work. Like there's not one correct way to do things.
Right.
So how long did you take your recreational program before you decided to become a TC?
I think it was about a year and a half.
Yep.
And then I took the Chicago exam in 2015, and that exam was posted very early, like a year and a half in advance. So I think I made the decision in 2013, but the exam wasn't until 2015. So I used like that year and a half just to study.
Yep.
And then someone on Instagram actually recommended that if possible, to go to an exam as a dancer.
Yes.
And between and that time, yeah, there was an exam in Baltimore. So I was like emailing Russell Beaton. I'm like, hi, I'm studying for my exam, wondering if I could come as a dancer. And that was amazing because you kind of got to see the whole exam process ahead of time.
Yes, I was a dancer for the AD exam 1 year, and it was very interesting. Like, it was definitely good to see it from the inside, even though obviously I'm not doing my AD now, and it wasn't necessarily preparing me for the TC exam. It's just nice to see it from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that kind of helped calm my nerves.
Yeah, yep. Awesome. So how did you find the exam?
So I've never in my life had a panic attack except for the night before of the TCRG exam. I was like throwing up, cold sweats, like couldn't focus my eyes. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not this nervous. I'm so prepared.
Yep.
I could not eat the entire weekend. But as far as the exam itself, I kind of enjoyed it. Like, I liked being there with other people who were kind of doing, they were there for the same reasons.
Yeah.
And the panel was really nice. They were like slightly intimidating, but I could tell that they wanted us all to do well.
Yeah. I got the same feeling.
Mm-hmm. And I had prepared so much that I felt pretty confident in all of the sections. I think my least confident section was the dancing, just because I think I was holding myself to like higher standards too. Like going into it, I was thinking, oh my gosh, there's probably gonna be all these like world dancers, and I never even went to worlds. But when I got there, it was nice to see that there was just a whole mix of different levels kind of dancers.
Yeah. Yep. I know in mine, there were candidates in the dancing section that were also going for their AD, and they were definitely older than 30 and probably hadn't danced for a while. Yeah. And like everyone made it through just fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it was good.
That's cool. So, then you get your results. I'm sure your students were super excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
they were.
Did you know going into it that a lot of them might want to compete, or were you kind of going into it saying, you know, hey, I have this nice thing going. If I get my TCRG now, then it'll kind of be like a nice addition to have if someone wants to compete?
Yeah, I wanted them to at least have the option, because I know when I was younger, competing was my absolute favorite thing, even though I was never like placing high at regionals or anything like that. But I just loved competing, and I wanted my dancers to be able to have that option. So at our school, like, I wouldn't say we're super competitive. I just kind of, I introduce it to the dancers, and if they want to do it, awesome. And I'll help them along. If they don't want to do it, that's fine too.
Yeah. Yep. No, I think that's great that you let them pursue that opportunity if they want to, but it's not the end all be all, or like it's not solely a competitive program. And mm-hmm. I have a conversation with a lot of people that are, like I said earlier, they're in that, like, they're trying to choose which way they want to go with things. Like, do I get my TC? Do I not get my TC? Do I do it now? Do I wait? Do I start teaching now? Like, I've had this conversation with people over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, again, good for them to hear that you can have students that are learning dance. Maybe they're progressing. Maybe they're starting to get eager. And it's like, you want to have it just to give them that option. I always, if people are in doubt, I always say, you might as well at least try and get it mm-hmm. because you never know.
Yeah, and then at least you have the option.
Exactly.
Because I know near us, I kind of see our school sort of being in the middle of that non-competitive, competitive spectrum. Because there are a few schools near us that are with CLRG and they are TCRGs, but they do not compete.
Yep.
They're just purely recreational. I think the one does a big recital every year. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there are schools near us that are like way more established, have been around longer than I've been alive, you know, and have all these world champions. And so we're kind of like, I feel like we're sort of in the middle of that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's good. Just, I don't know when everyone else is listening to this, but earlier in the week, I just did a little thing in our group about kind of how there's a space for everyone, because mm-hmm. everyone should kind of have their own unique angle on teaching Irish dance. So I feel like that's probably helpful that you have a very clear identity, so to say, in the options that people have in your area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in everything that I've seen, your school looks very fun.
Thanks. I try to make it that way. I know like Irish dance is our like primary objective, I guess, but yep. I really just want our school and our studio to be a place where kids can come and just feel comfortable and feel like they're part of something.
Yep.
Even if they're really bad at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not like their thing, but they feel happy and comfortable to like be there.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. And I'm actually trying to figure out how to inject some more fun into our classes, because fun is not my natural state of being. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you'd mind sharing some of the little, Casey does Instagram stories too, and she'll post kind of what she's set up for the classes that day. And I've just seen some really cute ones that I think maybe if people don't already follow you, I'll put your Instagram handle in the show notes so that people can go check it out. But
sure.
There's just some really neat little ideas that you've shared.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I've sort of done little fun things I've tried throughout the years. More recently, though, I think I've been adding it, especially this time of year, because springtime, like it's the end of the school year. Kids are getting tired and bored of doing the exact same thing. Like if we have to do the beginner reel one more time, like
yep.
we're all just going to lose our minds. So I've been trying to just make the classes more interesting. So the first one, I think it was like the first one I have saved on my Instagram story too, is I just took their lesson, what we would normally do for that day, and I just wrote it down on little pieces of paper, taped it up to the mirror, and they got to like peel them off and pick how we were going to do class that day. So we're still doing the exact same thing,
yep.
but to them, it's more like a game. And then I would throw in a couple like wild cards or some kind of game or fun activity. So they might peel something and dread it, like, you know, a bunch of overs or something.
Yep.
And then they'd peel another one and it would be four quarters. Like, let's play a game.
Yeah.
So it just keeps it more interesting.
Yeah, no, that was the first one I remember seeing. And I was like, wow, I've never thought of that. And that's awesome. Because yeah, to a kid, they don't realize that their entire lesson plan is written on all those pieces of
yeah.
paper, because they were hidden and like they got to, you know, it was like you peel it off and see what you get. And
yeah.
to them, I can see how that would be so much fun. And just like I can almost feel their excitement of going up to the mm-hmm. mirror and peeling it off.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was great.
It was funny too, because they would get excited over the things that we've been doing every day for the entire year. Like they'd yep. peel it off and they'd be like, the jig, you guys, the jig. And I'm like, oh my God. Yup. Let's do it.
That's awesome. How did you think of that?
I don't know. I think the first day I thought of that, it started with, I have this little group of three students that have been doing private lessons every week.
Yep.
And I think it started with them, because the week prior to that, I could tell they were just getting so bored. And like the one boy would just kind of like drag his feet and like slump over and like not really want to
yep.
do things. So I'm like, all right, something needs to change. So I kind of just did it spur of the moment. Like the first one, I literally just used pieces of painter's tape and
yep.
taped their things to the mirror.
Yeah, that's great. And then you had another one that I also really liked. I think it was the stations that you set up.
Mm-hmm. So I've done the stations in two different ways. Basically, the stations are more like drills.
Yep.
Like hop back two threes or different kinds of jumps or some kind of drill. And the first time I set them up, I sort of set them up along the border of the room, almost like a board game, like how
yep.
you would have to follow them around the room. And each station would be 1 minute long. Like if they're little or kids, if I did it with older kids, they'd be 2 minutes long. So everyone would start at a station. They would do that station for 1 minute and I would just stop the music when it was time to change stations.
Yep.
The other way that I did it was with, I found this like neon tape. So I had like hot pink, hot yellow, like
yep.
bright blue, green, orange, whatever. And instead of doing the stations like a board game, I kind of made different tracks or like different little roads, and they went all over like different directions and they intersected, and it was just really bright and colorful.
Yep.
And every few feet, I would just have a different station. So I think each track had three different stations, and they would just kind of cycle through the different tracks, and they would do yellow, and then they would have to come back after yellow and pick a different color and start on that station.
Yeah, so fun, so creative and clever. I love it.
Thanks.
So I'm just, I think sometimes I have to break out of my own routine and know that it's okay to do something a little different, because I'm sure they had a ton of fun following the little tracks.
Yeah, they love it. They're like, are you going to do this next week? I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
That's always the danger. Then they love this elaborate thing that you have to keep doing.
I try to like feed it to them that like certain things I'll only do before like a break, before spring break or before summer break. You know, we'll do more games instead of drilling our steps.
That's awesome. And then I just yesterday, I think it was when, so Casey's just getting ready to go to Ireland, and you have the special kind of like theme weeks, and you're in the middle of your workshop week.
Yeah.
Is that right? So to me, this was a really clever way to try and like put different offerings out there and see what people sign up for. I don't know if that's your intention behind it, but that's kind of how it reads to me as, I guess, a fellow studio owner. And I think that's great, because it's almost like, well, this is just a special thing for you to try. Mm-hmm. And obviously the really successful ones you can consider keeping. And then the ones that aren't, you just, okay, that was a one and done type of thing.
Yeah.
But you had put together the summer planning one with all the cute folders, which is something that I do at summer camp, like just trying to teach them, you know, like how to set goals and how to practice and drill and do that type of thing. But just the way you put it together, I was like, wow, that's like so much cuter and clever and more fun than just lecturing them about, you know, practicing. Yeah.
I'm really trying to like motivate them. And I studied visual arts in college. So I think I'm very visual. And so when I see something that's like, when I see something that's just more colorful or has like a cute font or something, I like that. So I was just trying to pass that on.
Yeah.
The kids with their folders.
Yeah. Well, it worked on me.
Oh, good.
I don't know if it worked on them, but it worked on me.
They like sat there very quietly and like filled out like all of their different papers.
That's
like
great.
Longer than I thought it was going to take them. So,
but I think that's good. I mean, I hope they get a lot out of it, because it looked like it was all just very well planned and prepared, and it looked very pretty.
Good, thank you.
So I mean, do you have any other little teaching things you want to share?
One thing that so when I started my school, over the years, I had different various day jobs.
Yep.
And one of them was substitute teaching. So I substitute taught in the county schools here, like on and off for probably 6 years.
Okay.
And I learned so much just from being in kindergarten.
Yep.
From being with kindergartners, because to me, I feel like I get bored with things like teaching the beginner reel, like I said, like every week or something. But with kids that are that young, they really like routine, and they do not mind doing the exact same thing every week. In kindergarten, they would do the exact same thing every single day, like their routine. So that's one thing that I definitely learned with the younger kids, and their attention span is sort of related to their age. Like if they're 5, they can focus on something for 5 minutes.
Yep.
You know, a 10-year-old could focus for like 10 minutes.
Yep.
So that's one thing that I've been trying to do with my younger kids, like having just switching gears every few minutes based on their attention span.
Yep.
I feel like that's more of where my strengths are with the younger kids. I feel like I have more difficulties. Like I would need help with older kids and like different kinds of drills and lessons for them. So if anyone has tips on that sort of thing, let me know.
Yeah, the preteen and teenage crowd definitely has their own challenges.
Mm-hmm. Like, they like all the fun stuff and the games that I do, but I feel like it's not necessarily beneficial
for
them, especially if they have, like, dancing and competitive goals.
Yes, and I mean, my preteen and teenage group tend to be in our champ class, and for them, it's kind of like, okay, well, you've chosen this road. You've chosen to, you know, want to pursue competition at a very, very high level. Mm-hmm. And for them, it's a balance of like needing to get them to do what they need to do, but also try and keep them self-motivated about it. Yeah. And it's always very, very tricky. Yeah. You know, for a lot of them, they're coming into nationals right now. And it's like, okay, guys, we're this close. Like, you just have to drag mm-hmm. drag yourself over the finish line. Like, mm-hmm. so, yeah, I hear you. It is tough.
Yeah, I had a thought. I don't remember what it was now.
Was it about preteens and teens?
It was. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think I'm just not sure how to, like, approach them. And I'm very, like, I guess kind of chill. Like my one of my dancers, she's like 16 and she's like, you need to yell at us more. Like you need to be like mean. And I'm just like, I can't do that. Like make me angry and I'll be mean, but it doesn't, you know, so I feel like I'm not sure that's like, I think I don't know if I was talking to you or somebody just, or someone was talking about like self-doubt.
Yeah.
Recently, or it might've been on your last podcast. And I don't know if that question came from me or if it came from somebody else, but that's where my sort of self-doubt comes in. And it might just be to like growing and going through the levels almost vicariously again through my dancers. Yep. So like maybe when I have a kid who's like got first in open champs, I'll be like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things though, that like, no matter how far you go, there's always going to be that little like kernel of self-doubt, or like you're always going to be like, oh, like, okay, great, that one kid made it, but I wonder, you know, if I can do it again, type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I
think it's just a natural part of the process, unfortunately.
Yeah, because I do kind of remember feeling that way, like when we got our first dancer into prize winner, and I was like, yep. Oh my gosh, like prize winner, and it's so different now from when I was dancing. And but they made it. I don't know, they got up there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing, is that it is so different than when we were in prize winner or when we were, you know, at each mm-hmm. of the levels, because it has just changed and evolved so much. Like sometimes I'll watch the novice competitions and I'm like, wow, like these kids could pass for prelim if you ask me.
Yeah. It's definitely a different world. I was talking to my friend about that and I was like, I feel like I belong in 1999.
That's when things were good.
I understood things back then. So,
yeah.
But yeah,
I think how, like, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, like, I think you mentioned earlier before we started how everyone kind of has their own way of doing things and that's okay.
Yep.
And then just like finding your strengths and weaknesses and like kind of to go along with my advanced dancers, I do not feel confident in choreographing for them. So I bring in someone to choreograph for them. And that
and this was something
difference.
I was going to touch on too, because it's unrealistic to expect yourself to be strong at everything. I think sometimes we do expect ourselves to be strong at everything, but mm-hmm. knowing your own weaknesses is huge, because then it's like, okay, I'll get someone who is stronger at this than I am. And I mm-hmm. knew that you had someone coming in to do your advanced choreography. And how do you find that as a teacher? Like, do you pick up things when you're watching your workshop teacher teach?
Yeah, I love it because one, I love the choreography that I like, not to say that I couldn't come up with it, but like, so we're working with Tyler Schwartz and he can come up with a dance in like a half hour or less, where it would take me like days to try to put something together. And then when he comes, he sees so many things that I just don't see.
Yeah.
It's almost like I kind of compare it to a language. Like, let's say that we are trying to learn Spanish and I'm like at level 4 in Spanish. And sure, I can have a conversation, but I'm not fluent is what it feels like. And I feel like when Tyler comes, he's just like fluent in everything Irish dance. And you can just see these little things and just change one thing. And it makes such a big difference.
Yeah. And I'm sure the students, I mean, at least for me, I always appreciate when my students can learn anything from someone else too, mm-hmm. just so that they are exposed to more, just more teaching methods and everything like that. Because for a while it was just me. And I know for you, for, you know, at least up until this point, it's been pretty much just you. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot that they can learn just from learning from other people too.
Yeah. I think that is a big deal. Like, and I have one dancer that goes to the CRC camp.
Yep.
And gets to work with all these different kinds of people. And I think that makes a big difference. And I kind of wish that I had more exposure to that when I was younger.
Yep.
Because I think you do learn a lot. Because I know when I started my school, I sort of was teaching based off of the way that I was taught.
And that's what everybody does. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. it's the same as anything else in life. You only know what your normal is because mm-hmm. you've only kind of lived in one sense of normal. And then you kind of meet all these different people and you're like, oh, you do this different. Oh, you do this different.
Yeah, it's really great. And that's what I love, like what you're doing. And like the other, like the Irish Dance podcast and the Facebook groups and people, I think, are really connecting more.
Yeah.
Like now, which is amazing.
I mean, and I was exposed to different teaching methods in college. And I think it would have been beneficial for me to have, you know, just more teaching exposure as a younger dancer. I went to CRC as a dancer, but mm-hmm. I would have like craved to have that type of thing all the time. And it's definitely helped me find what my teaching style is.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. And I know as a studio owner, you've been working on getting some more teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. So we moved into our very own space almost a year ago. And I've been teaching every single class for 8 years. And, you know, when I only had one night a week, that was one thing.
Yeah, now I'm bravo. Teaching... I don't know how you're still here.
I'm teaching 4 nights a week. Right now, our spring enrollment, I think we had about 115 students.
Yep.
You know, from ages 3 up through adults. And a mommy and me class, like, so with toddlers, too.
Yep.
So I was like, I need another teacher. But I know that our organization has the rule where you have to have a certified teacher in every class. And so I emailed someone from, like, the board. I'm like, what is this rule? Like, how am I expected to grow my business if I have to teach every class? And the response I got back was basically, well, that's the rule and there's no way around it. So then I started talking to other teachers and they're like, oh, well, I don't have TCs teaching my recreational classes, you know? And I'm like, that's a good point. Like a 3-year-old does not need a TCRG to teach them how to point their toe or clap their hands. Or so starting in the fall, I have 2 ladies that are, they're basically taking over all of our beginners. So the little baby kids and the beginners ages 7 and up. The one woman I used to dance with actually at Ryan Kilcoyne, and she dances with us in our adult classes now, and her daughter dances with us. So she'll be teaching. And then I have another mom who has been a ballet teacher for like 15 years. And she's going to, I'm like, oh, you can teach ballet. You can totally teach beginner Irish dance.
Yeah.
So they're both starting in the fall.
Well, congratulations. That's going to be really great. I'm excited for you because it's different and it will definitely have its own new challenges, like managing teachers then becomes your new project. But it's nice to not be solely responsible for teaching every single class.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm excited just like, and I love the little kids and I love the beginners, but I'm also excited just to be working primarily with dancers who basically survived beginner.
Well, and that's what it becomes sort of like, it almost becomes an aspiration to be like, and then I'll get to move to Miss Casey's class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's definitely that way, with my school is that I'll hear kids, you know, say, or I'll hear parents say like, well, you know, if you're good enough, like you'll get into Miss Courtney's class and it kind of makes you feel funny, but for them, that becomes like a goal.
Yeah. I think something, and I don't know if this has happened for you, of course, I don't know yet because we haven't started, but I feel like it's going to be strange to not really know all of the kids as well as I know them now. Like I have 115 students and sometimes I have a hard time remembering names now, but to add new students who I just don't have that connection with is going to be strange for me.
Yes. And it is strange. I try and see as many of them as I can. Like, even if it's, you know, I have a couple classes that go on while my classes are happening. Like, and if my kids are getting a water break, I pop into the other studio just to kind of like check on how things are going and like, at least like say hi to them and make sure that I know at least their faces most of the time I know their name too, but making sure that I at least would recognize someone if they, you know, if I ran into them in the grocery store.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, yeah, no, it'll be really nice. And how do you find in general being a studio owner? Because like you said at the beginning, it's kind of like you didn't really know what you were getting yourself into.
I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I've definitely had days where I'm like, how did I get here? And why am I doing this? And am I crazy?
But the thing is, so much every work. Single other studio owner that I've talked to feels the exact same way.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the pros definitely outweigh the cons. But over the last 8 years, and especially in the last like 2 or 3, I feel like I've learned so much. And I've really just learned that there was so much that I did not know I did not know.
And I think that's a feeling that a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, because you start off as an Irish dancer and then you're like, oh, I can teach this to another person. But then as it grows, you really have to get into the business aspect of it. So in hindsight, I probably should have had like a minor in business in college just to, because I had no idea. Luckily, I have amazing parents who know a couple of things.
Yeah,
my dad's an attorney. So he was able to help me like set up my business like legally. Yep. And he's a great resource. And I've had a few books that have been recommended to me. The first one that I read was, it's called The E-Myth Revisited. I forget who it's by, but that it's a book about business. And as I'm reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, like I did not know that I didn't know these things. Like, how do I not know these things? And so I've been trying to learn more about the business aspect of it too, which I really like actually.
Yeah. And I was going to study business if I didn't do what I ended up doing, going to the University of Limerick for dance. But, and I came into it knowing that I was going to become a business owner, but it's still just the things that you don't realize or the things that you don't know you need to know until you encounter them is always.
Right. Yeah. Because I think I knew that too. I was like, I'm going to start my own business, but I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Well, and people, I love when my students will ask me sometimes like, oh, so you just teach us? And I'm like, well, yeah, I come here and teach you, but that's not all I do. They're like, well, what do you do all day?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, if only you knew.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I kind of hate that question. It's like, I was visiting a friend who I hadn't seen in a while and I saw her mom and they were asking about the dance school and I'm showing them pictures of the dancers and stuff. And my friend, her mom is just so sweet. And she was like, oh, this is so nice. Like, it's just all fun and no stress. And, and I was like, yeah, it's like that. But it's a lot. It's a lot to take on. But I think especially for people that are thinking about starting their own schools now, there's so many resources. And I am willing to help anyone who wants help. And I know you are too.
Yeah,
and
same.
I've had help too from Maureen from the Thielen School has been.
I love Maureen.
So great. Like she, you know, she's like, anything you need, just call me. And I've called her up on the phone and just asked her questions about stuff. And I've emailed her sister about like tuition prices and like, how do you guys do this? And they're so willing to help. And I know not every school is necessarily like that, but I want to be like that. With anyone, you know, kind of coming up. Because I feel like we need the community.
Agree. Totally agree. I mean, and I've said it before, it's kind of like, well, if someone else is able to do this successfully, then it helps all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people worry about Irish dance like dying out or like FESH registrations being low, you know, means it's dying out. But, you know, if we're willing to help each other out a little bit, like the whole sport as a whole will continue to grow and thrive. And that's good for all of us.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it. But I mean, what are your favorite parts of being a studio owner? We'll focus on the positives.
The positives. So this is totally like non-Irish dance related, I guess, but I love just being in charge of my schedule.
Yep.
So I have not had a day job for probably 2 years now. So I love that I don't necessarily have to set an alarm in the morning to get up and like go to work. So yep. There was a short, like, you know, a few years where I would have to get up early, go do whatever my day job was, substitute teaching, or I nannied for a while, and then going from there straight to dance.
Yeah.
So I was basically, you know, working all day long. But now I just like the flexibility. And like we talked earlier, I'm going to Ireland for a month.
Right. You can just do that.
Yeah. And I know that it takes a while to get to that point where I can do that, where I don't have to, you know, have the day job.
Yeah.
But I mean, granted, I'm not technically getting paid during that month from my dancers. But
you have a business to come back to.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that's the trade-off, is the long game.
Yeah. I think just what I love about being a studio owner is just being my own boss is like the first thing, and kind of being able to take charge of, you know, my life, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know about you, but my personality is definitely like, I want to be in charge.
Yeah. I never like kind of saw myself that way when I was younger.
Yeah.
But like when I quit that job cold turkey without notice, and I was just like, nope. I was like, you know, I love the people I work with, but I don't want to have to like get someone to cover my shift if I need a day off. So, but then of course, being able to be a business owner and then do it with Irish dancing is just really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know? And I could see myself doing other business ventures, but I do like that I can combine like two passions together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know if you get this too, but like a lot of people can't believe that like I can make a business out of teaching Irish dance. I don't know if you've ever had people say that to you, but they're like, oh, wow, like you can make a living doing that. Yeah.
My aunt, I was visiting my cousins the other week, and my aunt was like, so is it like profitable? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I pay the bills and I can take vacations and stuff. Like, I'm not a millionaire.
Right.
But I can, like, buy food for my cat. That's what, when my kids, when their parents hand me money, sometimes every now and then a kid will be like, why did my mom give you money? And I tell them it's money so I can buy cat food. I'm like, it's so I can buy cat food.
That's pretty funny. I had a kid who saw like a gift certificate for like a month of free classes or something sitting on the desk. And they're like, wait, mom, you have to pay for me to come here?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. I think so far, like everything sort of runs smoothly. There have been a few times where I sort of mentally have to separate the business from like, because it is like, it's just like what I do. It's what I am, you know, like,
well, and I think we've both talked about this before, like not together, but on our own platforms, of how when you own a business, it is all consuming and it's very hard to turn it off, because the trade-off of being your own boss and being able to set your own schedule and like being in charge of your own destiny is that, at least for me, it always feels like, well, at some point, like if I don't manage this, it's also like it'll be at my own demise that it falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you're the one at the driver's seat, and like you have to keep putting a little bit of pressure on that pedal even when you're off, just to, like, make sure that it stays on track. And I've never had a like normal regular job, so I honestly don't know what it's like to like clock off and then go live the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. I was talking about this recently, because it sort of always is just like hovering over me, like the dance school. And then so both of my parents kind of work for themselves. Like they work for companies, but they're sort of like self-employed. And
yeah,
when I, you know, a few years ago when I was still like kind of new, I felt like I was working all the time. Like I would do stuff before dance classes and I would go teach dance and then I would come home and keep working.
I went through that phase too.
My parents were like, you have to stop working when you get home. Like, do whatever you need to during the day, go teach your classes, and then stop. And when it's Saturday, I think my dad or someone was like, there's no such thing as an Irish dance emergency. You know, like, unless you're in some kind of the middle of a big competition or something. He's like, but it's Saturday, all your kids are like, they're fine. There's no fesh. Like if a mom texts you, you don't have to answer them.
Yeah.
Like, it got to the point where I had a few parents that would just text me whenever they wanted to ask me questions. And I would just ignore it. And then like Monday morning, I would email them a response. Yeah.
I do the same thing now too. And like learning to set those boundaries and even just like you said, like it sounds probably so simple to some people of like, well, yeah, why would you work when you get home? But I felt like I had to, like to keep everything running. Mm-hmm. I had to.
Cause it never ends.
Exactly. Never There's always something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot better at that. And I do not feel guilty anymore about like just not working. Like I do that a lot of times on Fridays. I'll just wake up and I'll be like, I'll check my email maybe later or maybe on Monday. Like there's nothing going on this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like enjoy my day and not work necessarily.
And I'm starting to get to that point too of just being like, okay, well, what are your must do's for today? And maybe you can leave it at that.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely do that too. Like some things have to get done, but
instead of feeling like I have to sit here until, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon doing something.
Yeah. Kind of going back to your thing, like, what do you do during the day? I don't like, sometimes I'll tell my mom or I'll tell my fiance Joe, I'll be like, listen, I got up, I went to the Starbucks at 8 a.m. and I sat and worked solidly for 4 or 5 hours straight.
Yeah.
You know, just like doing admin parts, you know, the admin side of it. But
yep.
But then I get to, you know, drink coffee and work at Starbucks. In an office, you know, someplace else. But
yeah, I mean, because I think even sometimes like the dance families or like the dancers or just people in general don't always understand too that like with every new student that you bring in, the admin work just multiplies.
Yeah. And I mean, I understand that they don't understand that because like just I'm sure we don't understand other people's jobs and how much they work. But I did have I think it was a dad that texted me one day and he was like, this was just like a crazy request. He was like, oh, so-and-so, something happened, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Do you think you could pick our daughter up and bring her to dance class? Her class was at like 7. And I was like, oh, sorry. Like I get to the dance studio at 2:30. And I'm not picking up your kid. Like,
yeah.
I'm not coming to your house and picking up your kid to bring them to dance, you know?
But, yeah. Or I don't know if you went kind of through this as you were growing too, but like the things that either worked or that you could do when the school was really small, just don't work or you can't do them as it grows bigger and bigger.
Like what? I'm not sure.
Just like those odd requests or like the things that like maybe I would have personally emailed someone to be like, oh, hey, I noticed you weren't registered for summer camp yet. Like,
yeah. Oh,
whereas
yeah.
Now you have hundreds of names.
Right.
You're just like, nope, I'm not going to notice that anymore.
Yeah.
Just have to follow the deadlines.
Mm-hmm. I used to email people like if they missed class, I'd be like, oh, is everything okay? Do you want to make up a lesson or whatever? And now I hardly can tell like who's not here because all of them just kind of,
yeah,
you know, like I have the rosters, but when I go to class, I might not realize like, little Susie's not here today or, you know.
Yeah, I know. And it sounds really bad too, but I do the same thing when I'm just like, when they all come in and I'm like scanning of like, okay, who's not here? And I always feel really bad when it like takes me a few minutes to realize like, oh yeah, she's not here just because.
Yeah. Do you take
it different?
Do you take attendance in your classes?
I do. Yep. Mm-hmm. And actually I know you just switched to Dance Studio Pro. They have a attendance thing that you can do on your phone.
Yeah, I need to learn about that.
So I just save it as a little bookmark to my home screen. It's not like an app, but it's a thing that you put in a little like 3 or 4 digit PIN into and it pulls up your classes and it has like the kids' names, their age, their picture if their parent uploads one. And then you can click absent, present, or late.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and do it right in the moment, but a lot of times I do it when I get home.
Yeah. And then they can they see their own attendance too?
They can. Yep. The only thing I wish they'd add, and if anyone at Dance Studio Pro is listening to this, I doubt they are, but I would love if they added a little like drop-down menu at the bottom so that you could add or like credit someone for a makeup class. Cause I know for me, like when someone comes for a makeup class, I have to make a note, like, in my phone of, like, oh, hey, Susie was here on June 13th, because there's no way in that little attendance thing to say Susie was here for a makeup class. And then I have to go in and put it in manually to, like, her profile and absences.
It's
a pain. I wish there was a better.
So what's the, like, what is your reason for taking attendance?
So that I know, like, let's just say someone's been absent a lot, or I like to have the record, like, in case. Sometimes we'll have parents come and say they have, like, 6 missed classes, but they really have, like, 3, but they want to make up all 6.
Oh.
And we're like, oh, no, you only missed 3. Sometimes we have that happen, so I like to have an accurate record.
What I've been doing with kids who miss class, they have 2 weeks to make it up, and that's it. If those 2 weeks go by, they can't make it up after that.
I feel like that would be something that I lose track of really fast, though. Of like, is your weeks up? I don't know.
I don't technically keep track of it, but that's just kind of what I tell them. And sometimes, like, it depends on the family. Like, some kids just are no-shows, and sometimes I'll get an email, and they'll be like, oh, my son can't come tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, all right, well, if you'd like to make up, you're more than welcome to join this class also next week.
Yep.
And sometimes they come. More than not, though, they just don't come.
Yep. I will think about implementing that. Because like you said, at least if they think they only have 2 weeks, then
yeah,
gives them a little bit more urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, do you have anything else you want to add or say or anything we didn't cover?
I don't know. Not that I can think of. I didn't like write anything down or
try to brainstorm ideas. A mental outline, but I think there are lots of, you know, little takeaways for people, whether they're in, you know, the dancer stage or the teacher stage or, you know, the studio owner club here.
Yeah. I don't know. What about, like, the spaces that we use? Like, we grew up dancing.
Yeah, and I have had people ask me kind of when you know that you're ready to either invest in space or when you know you're ready to move. So I guess I hadn't actually answered this question yet. And I know for me, it's like, I just knew. Like, there was a year that I was looking around when we moved from our first, like, leased space to the space we're in now. I was looking around at summer camp and I'm like, in a year from now, we are not going to fit in here. So, like, I knew I needed to move. Same with when we started in a church basement. Mm-hmm. And I knew we needed to move because I couldn't get it. Any more time and space. Like, I couldn't get any more time. So
yeah,
I knew
that was my problem too.
I needed to move because I couldn't run the programs I needed to run without having our own space.
Yeah. That's how we also started in like a church kind of common area.
Yep.
I don't remember how long we were in those spaces, but it got to the point where I had 70 students and the church would give me 2 nights a week and they could not give me a third.
Yep.
So then I started subleasing from another dance studio that did like tap and jazz and ballet. They had an extra room because they had just expanded. So we were with them for 2 years, but it got really difficult to share the common space. Like they basically said, you're not allowed to be in our lobby. And I was like, well, what about our little kids that need to tie their shoes and stuff? And the woman was like, she's like, I don't know why I thought this, but I only thought that you would have teenagers. Like she only ever saw.
I don't know why she would have thought that.
She only ever saw Irish dancers that were older. And she was like, I didn't realize you would have so many little kids and they're taking up our whole lobby. And like, it just kind of just was not working.
Yeah.
So that's when I kind of went on the hunt for our own space. And I found one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about for you, like, even though I knew I needed to move, it was always still very scary to like make that jump.
Yeah. I kind of looked at it like, I don't think I ever really felt scared, but I just kind of looked at it like I was kind of starting over, but at a new level, you know? So like when we moved into that other dance studio, the rent was increasing, but I had more room to grow. So I was
you're leveling up.
Yeah, it's basically like leveling up. And then this past year, I had to pay to have the space built out.
Yeah.
So I pretty much feel like I've been a volunteer for the last year. And like haven't really – I keep telling myself that next year is going to be like my money-making year.
Yep.
Just because the past year I've had so many expenses.
Yep.
We'll see. I'll let you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully that's helpful to whoever asked me about how you know you're ready to move. But, I mean, other than the obvious, like, making sure that your finances are in order.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you obviously went into it knowing, like, okay, I may not be making any money for myself, but I know that I can build out the space, or, you know, knowing that you can afford the increased rent or whatever it is.
Yeah, that was the thing, like, just knowing, making sure that I had enough money to kind of get through a few months in the future.
Yeah.
And my account has definitely fluctuated, like, it's gone pretty decent, and then it'll go all the way almost back down to the bottom, and then I kind of have to build it back up again, just starting at the new level.
Yep. Okay. No, that was a good one, and that was one that I was holding off on answering only because I was like, oh, I only know from me. So at least now, whoever that was, now you have two people's opinions on that. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll wrap things up for today.
Okay.
And thanks. I'll make sure that I put all of your, because you have a blog too. So I'll just put all of your Instagram things in there.
The blog, yeah. My blog is like kind of a hobby. It's not like super, I don't update it very often, but I also had a blog while I was studying for my exam, which people might find helpful.
Yeah.
Even though it was like the older version, but it's still up there. And I like kind of documented my study process and my exam experience.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that'll be helpful. So I'll go find all of those and put them in the show notes so that people can have all those resources, because the more resources, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stay in touch with Casey on Instagram, and you are in our Facebook group, the podcast Facebook group. So she's in there too. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Enjoy your trip to Ireland.
I can't wait.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.